Father God, Lord, this day, Father, we come before You, Lord, as Your people. We come before You as those that are called by Your name, Lord Jesus. Those that You've equipped, Father, for this time and this age that we live in, Lord God, that we've now been brought into by Your power and Your mercy, Lord God, and Your grace. We thank You for the amazing adventure that is on the horizon for Your church. And Lord, we surrender ourselves, Lord God, completely to Your will and plan and purpose in this time. Father, even as we would spend some time in Your Word, Lord, we just pray that Your Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth would be with us in this time. Father, we pray, Lord God, that You would take full control, Lord God, that nothing that comes forward would be of flesh or of the mind of men, but Lord, Your Spirit, Father. And so, Lord, I do bind every demonic spirit and every work of the enemy in and around this place. In Jesus' name, I cast it out. And Father, I pray, Lord God, and I proclaim the freedom in Christ Jesus. We go forward in that freedom, Lord. I decrease, Father. Your Spirit, have Your way and increase in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. Okay, let me turn this off really quick. Phone on silent because it always has a habit. Every time I do this, I put it there. Okay, I was left with an assignment last week. Do you remember what my assignment was?
Yes.
Well, last week when my dad was here, and he said, I'm gonna let Govinda pick this up where I left off. Where did he leave off? What was he talking about last time? Yes. Gold star. Where's the teachers? You can give her a gold star for this morning. Yes. Okay, I was left with an assignment to talk some about our adversary. In relationship to what context? What was it that my dad was talking about?
The tree of life is available for us, and now we can always enjoy it. So
yeah. Okay.
The
tree of life, the flesh. And one other big thing from last week, if you had to, what, I'll give you a hint. One other big thing. What is our inheritance? When we were talking about our inheritance in Christ, life. Yes, okay, well, life, ultimately, oneness with God, right? Okay, so little small refresher as we go forward. When Adam was made, he was one with God. When Adam and Eve were brought into the earth, there was a oneness that they had with the Father. And the thing that was lost ultimately in the garden was our oneness with God. And the thing that was restored in Christ Jesus, once again, is our oneness with God.
යේසුස් වහන්සේ තුලින් අපිට නැවත පිහිටවනු ලැබුවේ ඒකම තමයි ඒ මම දෙවියන් වහන්සේ ඒකත්වෙන් ඉන්නවා කියන කාරණාව.
See, I like things simple. I'm not necessarily I have some complicated aspects, but I like things simple.
ඒ හරි කැමැතිලු සරල දේවල් වලට යා සංකීර්ණ දේවල් ගැනත් යා සමහර දේවල් තියෙනවනම් සරල වෙනවට යා දේවල් කැමතියි.
You know, I remember during my college days and some of the professors I used to have, and they would try to make things so complicated. And the reason they would try to make things so complicated is because they were taking a lot of money from their students. And so they wanted you to really feel like they knew what they were talking about. But for me as a student, sometimes I'm like, what is he trying to talk about? And then when I finally understood what he was talking about, I'd say, why didn't he just say so? Why did he make it so complicated? It's very simple, it's very easy. I can show him. No, this life and this word and God's plan and purpose for us is very simple. And yet if you want to complicate, if you want to look into it, you can spend a million lifetimes and you'll never be able to fully comprehend everything that's there. There's so much in there. So keeping it simple, in the garden, we were one with the Father. What was lost in the garden with the enemy, with the adversary, was our oneness with God. What was restored with Jesus is once again our oneness with God. So we're still doing a little refresher. John 17. And where Jesus was praying in verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 20 and 21. Chapter 17, John.
මොවුන් කියන පමණක් නෝ මොවුන්ගේ වචනය සම්බන්ධව මා කෙරෙහි විශ්වාස කරනවුන් ගැන ඔවුන් සියල්ලන් ඒකත්වයක් වන පිණිස පිය වූ ඔබ මා තුලේද මා ඔබ තුලේද සිටින්නාක් මෙන්ම ඔබ මා එවුවව ලෝකයා විශ්වාස කරන පිණිස අප තුල ඔවුන් ඒකත්වයක් වන පිණිස යාඥා කරමි.
So, you know, one reason why I really love this prayer, and John 17, before Jesus, before, you know, like people have like their last words before they're about to, if somebody was about to die and they say, okay, you want to say something to the crowd or you want to say something to those around you, and they're about to say, here's the most important thing to me. And Jesus, in what was basically the last moments before he would begin the entire process of the cross, which was his death sentence in the world, this was his prayer.
ඉතින් යා යේසුස් වහන්සේත් එහෙමයි යේසුස් වහන්සේ කුරුසේ කරන්න පටන් ගත්ත ලොකු ක්‍රියාවලියේදීම එයාට මරණය තීන්දුව තමයි දෙන්න වෙලා තිබුණේ ඒ මොහොතක කලින් කරපු යාඥාවයි මේ
That they may be one as thou Father art in me and I in thee that they also may be one in us
ඔවුන් සියල්ලන් ඒකත්වයක් වන පිණිස පිය වූ ඔබ මා තුලේද මා ඔබ තුලේද සිටිනාක් මෙන්ම ඔබ මා එවම
So, you know, sometimes people talk about the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let's now bring in what Jesus said. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Chitrani. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Anoma. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Hira. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and us. No separation. Whoa, hey, hold on. This is no separation, that you and him would have the same mind. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Same mind, same heart, same, that you are one, consummated with the Father. The bride and the groom become one. And verse, the second part of verse 21 is very important. That the let me read verse 21 again. That they may be one in us, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, there's several reasons why this is important, but one of them is the world is not one with the Father. The world is not one with Jesus. It never will be. So the world system, the servants of the world system, all of those, everything, they are not one in Jesus. God is over here, they're over there. And so, if somebody is not one in Christ, where are they? Yeah, they're in the world. Because unless you are one in Him, unless you are consummated with the Spirit of God, you're somewhere else. And the dividing line is that those that are in the world, they can see who the children of light are because they are one with the Spirit of God. Let me take that a little further. They are one with the Spirit of God, and the people of the world are not, and they recognize the difference between the two. And let me go even further. And because they recognize the difference between the two, they hate the children of the light, because they know that they have that connection, have that truth, and they do not. And because they hate the children of light, let me even go further, then they persecute you, they come after you, they make your life difficult, they test you, they try you. So much so that in John 16, Jesus had to tell his disciples, you know, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. I have overcome that which is outside of me, that which is separate from me, is under me. I am over it all.
Mata, Yesus Swami, Mata, Mata, Mage, Mengela, Dine, Kotasa,
Overcome is also that, over, over and above. So the world tries to build its hierarchies, its pyramids, all the things that everybody's trying to get part of. God is above all of that. And His people are above all of that. Okay. So now, in the midst of that, did our adversary go away? Did the one that hates your soul, hates God, hates Adam, hates Eve, did he go anywhere? I see. Everyone's head is shaking. No. No, he didn't go. He's still here. You know, and I've heard sometimes, and you know, even when I was a kid, you wonder sometimes, okay, if God is all powerful, God is all knowing, why did He leave the devil here with us? Yeah, a fair question. You know, why would you lock us in this place with this raving lunatic that's coming after us all the time? Because we're locked in, we're in this world to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. But while you're in the body, you're now in the body in a world with a big devil and all the demons running around. And if God is all powerful, He's God after all. If God is all powerful, why can't He just take this thing, put it in a box, stuff it like that, put it at the bottom of the ocean, and let us have a nice life? You ever wonder that? Come on, come on. You, I know you've thought that. Why this struggle? Why this test? Why this continuous grinding and oppression and us going through this day in and day out? Oh, come on, be honest. We have to be honest, because if we're not talking about these things, if it's just supposed to be, oh, happy day, since Jesus washed my sins away and all is okay, and then everybody's raising their hand and all, and everybody's wondering, am I the only one with a problem here? You know, if we could have a little bit more openness and honesty about our struggles and the things that we face as the body of Christ, I think we would get much further, much faster. Okay, so let's start with this. The adversary did not go away. And the very thing that the adversary worked to do at the very start, at the very first pages of this book that we have in the Bible, is the very thing he's working to this moment, to this day, to try to do. And that was, what did he do at the start? He worked to do what to us with our oneness with God? He worked to separate us from our oneness with God. And today, at this very moment, he's working very, very hard once again to try to separate us from our oneness with God. Because his mission has not changed. Now, it manifests in different ways, but if you understand the underlying principle and the underlying goal, you will catch it because you'll be like, ah, okay, I see that. How many of you have a favorite artist or a favorite painter or a favorite architect? Anything like that? You know, if you've ever looked at art or architecture or something, and you notice a way that a particular architect worked, then later on, if you see something but you didn't know that it was his, it looks very familiar because it looks like something that he would have done. Because that artist or that architect had a particular style, and that style would always come up no matter what he did or she did. So internationally, somebody like Van Gogh or Salvador Dali or Da Vinci, or you, these people, they all had a very style. In this country, Jeffrey Bauer. Who knows that name? If you've seen a Jeffrey Bauer house or a Jeffrey Bauer hotel, or you see a few things, and no matter where, you're like, wait, this is the same kind of coconut trees he planted everywhere. Same style. Similar spacing. Similar lines. So like that, if you understand the core of your adversary, when it comes out in different ways, you're like, oh, okay, it's the same thing. I know where this is coming from. So one core principle of our adversary that we know from Scripture and from our own life experience is his desire is to separate us from oneness with God. And so, if he's going to be able to do that, see, here's something too. You are designed to be one with something. We were made to be joined to something. That's why everybody looks for that. It is part of your spiritual design, your spiritual makeup, how God made and fashioned you is to be one with something. And so what the enemy looks to do is to try to get you to be one with something else.
අපිව හැමදෙස්ම වෙන කොහක් හරි එකතු වෙන්න මූට් වෙලා ඒක තමයි මේ ලක්ෂණ උච්චාරණය.
So your adversary works to try to get you to choose to be one with something else and not God.
ඉතින් යක්ෂයා හදන්නේ අපිව වෙනක් දෙයක් එක්ක ඒකත්වයෙන් ඉන්න හදන උත්සාහය තමයි යා හදන්නේ දෙවියන් වාසි දෙක අපි එකට ඉන්න වෙනකොට වෙන එකක් එක්ක ඒකත්වයෙන් කියන තමයි අපි උච්චාරණය.
So what are some examples of that? What are some examples of options of things that you can be one with besides God? What do you think? Give me a few. Money, there's one. Whatever takes the first place in your life, yeah. So money, power, position, pleasure, the world at large, even self and self-interest, even in that, what did Jesus say about that? See, do you remember where that? It's in all the Gospels. Well, it's in the Gospels. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse. Let's see here. Let's see. Verse 34 says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whoever will come after me, let..." Now, keep in mind, Jesus' goal was to what? Make us one with the Father, bring us into oneness with the Father. So always remember that with everything that Jesus did and taught and performed while he was in the earth and said, "Whoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life and for this the same shall for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it."
අපි අපිට දෙවියන් වහන්සේ එක්ක ඒකත්වයේ සම්බන්ධතාවයේ නැවත වාරයක් ලබා දෙන විදිය දෙයක් තමයි උන්වහන්සේ දේවල් කිව්වේ කරේ. කවරෙක් නමුත් මා පස්සේ එන්න කැමති නම් ඔහු තමාගේ කැමැත්ත අත්හැර තමාගේ කුරුසිය රැගෙන මානුව ඒවා. මත් නිසාද තමාගේ ජීවිතය ගලවා ගන්න කැමැති කවරෙකුට නමුත් ඒක නැතිවන්නේය. මා නිසා සුභාරංචිය නිසා තමාගේ ජීවිතය නැති කර ගන්න කවරෙක් නමුත් ඒක ගලවා ගන්නේය.
So in order to become one with the Father, what must you do? Verse 34, what is part of this process? Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Verse 35 is very important. "For whoever will save his life shall lose it." See, that's the irony of this. For the people that try to save their lives, to hold on to their lives, to not follow Jesus, they remain separate from Him. And if they remain separate from Him, they become one with something else. Let me give you some other things you can become one with. You can become one with your career. You can become one with your job. You can become one with relationships that are around your life. You can become one with religion. You know, and that's the caution that God had given. He said that a time will come that people will surround themselves with teachers that tell them what their itching ears want to hear. That people will surround themselves in this day with people that tell them what they want to hear. So what happens is people don't like this stuff about denying yourself, following God, doing what He says. No, 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 that's not the teacher we want. No, no, no. The teacher that will support is the one that tells me that God wants you to be wealthy and healthy, and He wants you to have all of these things, and you don't have to deny yourself anything because God is your Father, the cattle on the thousand hills belongs to God, and surely He wants you to have all those cattle because He's your Father. Look, those things, there's a subtlety in that. Because what the enemy works to do is ultimately to get you focused on yourself and not on God. To have or to not have is not the issue. The issue is, what is first in your life, the kingdom or something else? Jesus kept going back to this. What? Matthew 6. Seek ye first the what? Yes, seek ye first the kingdom. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be taken care of. So God encourages and quickens His church to seek first the kingdom, seek first His righteousness. Now, if you're seeking first the kingdom of God, what are you on a path to? You're on a path to the king. You're on a path to the king. You know, the word kingdom is split it into two. There's a king and there's a dom. Kingdom. There's a king and there's dominion. Dominion is the rule and the reign over everything within that. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, we are talking of the dominion that the kingdom that God has rule and reign over. Now ultimately we know in Psalm, it's either 23 or 24, the very first verse, where it says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns the whole thing. But, as we said earlier, God didn't put the devil in a box and throw him away. He allows for a rebellious kingdom to exist and for them to have a little spot, a rule and reign over that. He allows for that right now for a purpose that He has. But for you and I, as children of God, for us to walk in the direction of the kingdom of God, seeking first the kingdom, we are seeking the rule, the reign, the lordship of the King of Kings over and through our lives. And what the devil knows is that if he's going to stop that, he has to work on you. Now, where is the primary place that he begins work on the children of God? Another gold star. Your mind. Your mind. Okay, why would he go after your mind? He can bring you down? That's where, yeah, the place where everything starts there. You know, I used to, long time ago, well not long, some little while back, earlier schooling days, I used to, when I was in the States, I used to wrestle. I used to be a wrestler. Wrestling. No, not boxing, wrestling. Like, you ever watch the Olympics? Not this American style. You see the TV with the guy jumping off the rope. No, not that one. I don't have a cape. No, I don't. No, this is the Olympic style where they you know, clash. You. It's Greco-Roman style. My coach at that time, he told me one thing about your opponent. He says, wherever the head goes, the body will follow. And part of that, you know, there was several implications. One of that was the mind of your opponent, but also even the literal head. If you push the head this way, the whole body would go there. Now here's a very important point. At the cross, the devil was defeated. Very important fact that all the universe knows and understands. Thank you, Jesus. At the cross, the devil was defeated. So in the realm of spirit, it was satisfied what was necessary for the redemption of mankind. The devil lost. God proved he won. So the first Adam, which was a living soul who had fallen and failed, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, a life-giving spirit, succeeded and won. And the devil now, in the realm of the spirit, is a completely defeated foe.
Then
Now, if you have a defeated foe, and he's now in a territory that it's finished, it's over, the war's done in that respect. In fact, you know how one way that we even know that this is all done? God has put everything in the rest of this book that will happen. And the devil, with all of his technology, all of his resources, everything that he has, all these world leaders doing exactly what he tells them to do, even with all of that, he can't stop one piece of this from being fulfilled, or everything happening exactly the way that God has says it'll happen. Where, O death, is thy sting? Where, O death, is thy victory? Do you know, for you and I, nobody can kill us? No one can kill me. They've tried, they can't kill me. You don't kill a Christian, you bless them. You know, if I was to go right now, please, no one tear for me. Because for me, I go straight to be with the Father and I leave all of the drama of what's here. Thank you very much. We never taste the second death. That was done, that's finished. Okay, isn't this nice to talk about it and to know today? Aren't you happy to be reminded? Okay, but the devil, poor little devil, he's stuck here with his role. So now, if you were a toothless devil, if you had... If you're a toothless devil, what now must you do? One thing, you have to convince your opponent you have teeth. You have to convince them, I have teeth, I still have teeth. You have to convince him, I'm still dangerous. You have to convince him, I'm still your threat. You know, here's the thing. For us, the only way that there is any danger for us at all is if we, of our free will, do the same thing that Adam and Eve did, which is to separate ourselves from oneness with Christ. What was written in Romans? What can separate you from the love of God? Neither height nor depth nor nothing in this world can take you out of the hand of God. Nothing. But you can choose to leave because God honors your free will. You remember John 6 when Jesus gave a hard teaching? Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And a bunch of people left. And Jesus turned and said to the 12, will you guys leave also? And what did they say? They said, Lord, where will we go? We know that you have the words of eternal life. They chose in their heart, no matter what, they wanted to be one with Him. And we have something now that they didn't have at that moment in time, which is we have the Holy Spirit has come upon us that empowers us to do what the flesh is weak to do. So the place of power, of safety, of authority, of God's plan and purpose for you and I is in oneness with Christ Jesus. And that must be the core of your heart, your desire, your passion, your drive, everything that's in you. You give all of that to Him, He'll meet you there. Our adversary, though, continues to exist. And he exists for a reason and a purpose. See, one of the I'll give you a few other reasons why he exists here, why God hasn't put him in a box and thrown him away yet. Now let me make this clear too. There is a time where God will put him in a box and throw him away. Oh yes, there is a point in time where God says, okay, enough, everything's done, the show is over, I'm going to take out the trash and all of this goes. And the devil will go, all of his demons will go, along with everyone that is not one with the Father, and everyone that has chosen to become part of the world, and everyone that has loved and believed a lie, all of them will get tossed into one big trash can and burned and thrown away. But for right now, God allows them to exist, and I'll give you a few reasons why I see that they're here. Okay, one of them that I've seen is to test the hearts of men and women, to test you. It's to find out who is who. Who are the wheat and who are the tares? Because you know, it's not until something is tested that you find out the quality of what's in something. You know, whenever people, when they make a chemical, or they make steel, or they make a product, or they make whatever they make, In order to find the quality of it, they must test it. Because otherwise you just get some slick salesperson that says, no, this is 95% pure, this is very good. But when you test it, you find out it's 20%. So the enemy exists to test God's creation and to for us to go through that. We need to go through that. See, without the devil there, there would have been no way for us to truly understand God's love for us in what He expressed through Jesus. You know that? I mean, throughout eternity, God could have said, I love my creation, I love man, I love woman, I love you. God could say that. But if ever in eternity, people want to know and to understand the depth of the love of God, all they'll have to do is look at the life of Jesus and the cross, and they will understand the love of God. For a window in time and space that God sent His only begotten Son into this world, into a difficult, trying life. Because Jesus' life in the natural was not easy, not at all. And then He went from that, following the will of the Father, all the way to death, even the death on a cross. And for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame. The joy set before Him was the knowing and understanding that He would be married to us for all eternity. That out of His love for us, that He that knew no sin became sin. He absorbed the entire sins of the world and put it to death even there. So if God says, I love you, I understand a lot more of what that means. Very different than a 16-year-old boy with an ice cream cone talking to his girlfriend at school. I love you. No. So God allows for, and He, you know something else? He allows for the enemy to exist to test you and I. What does Scripture say? Okay, back to Scriptures. Consider it pure joy when you faced what? Trials and tribulations of all kind, because you know that the what of your faith produces what? The testing of your faith produces perseverance, hope. Hope, character does not disappoint. God allows it.
Mm-hmm. ඉවසීම රටා පැවසීම ඒ වගේම ජීවනය මේ ඔක්කොම අපි පුරුදු වෙනවා. ඉතින් දෙවියන් වහන්සේ ඒකට ඉඩ හරිනවා.
This is also why in Romans 8:28 God says that he causes all things to work together for the good of the called, those who are the called according to his purpose. Along with that, I'll give you, my time is going fast, so I'll give you a couple more small ones. Along with that, he allows for the enemy to exist to make God's people strong. He makes us strong by His existence and Him testing us, we become stronger. You know, in order to get stronger in your physical body, you have to have resistance. You know that you won't get strong without resistance? And there are principles in the natural that are there in the natural, so you will understand the spiritual reality as well. You do not get strong without resistance.
ඉතින් ඒක ස්වභාවික අපිට උදාහරණ තියෙනවා ආර්ථික දේවල් තේරුම් ගන්න. ඉතින් අපි ශක්තිමත් වෙන්නේ නැහැ අපිට මේ ප්‍රතිරෝධයක හැකියාවක් නැත්නම්.
And now you have you seen the back to the Olympics or weightlifters? Have you seen those weightlifters that are lifting these huge weights?
දැන් ඔලිම්පික් වල ගත්තොත් අර මරුස්සන අය ලොකු බර විශාල බර තමයි ඒගොල්ලෝ උස්සන්නේ.
Do you think they just got up one day and said, okay, I think I'm going to lift 400 pounds? Never lifted anything a day in their life and they're, oh, right, I'll go lift 400 pounds. Ah, look, hey, easy. No, it started with 50 pounds 5 years ago. Then 150 pounds, 4 years, and then 250, and then 300, and then that continually progressing towards strength. And the more the resistance, the greater the strength. And that's where I used to have some friends that used to say, new level, new devil. New level, new devil. If you are going to keep going with God and God is going to continue to progress you and you move up another level with God, it's another level of the devil and what he'll throw at you. And that is scriptural, because you know, even you look at somebody like Daniel. Daniel's not wrestling with this Bodhiyaksha, he's not wrestling with this tiny little demon. When he's praying, he's wrestling with the prince of Persia, and God is using Michael, and this there's a massive battle taking place in the heavenlies over what is taking place in the world at that time, because he's moving with God. So, when you face greater resistance, thank God for that, because you are also progressing with God's plan and purpose for you. You know when astronauts, when they go into outer space, have you seen those videos where they show them and they're floating around in the space capsule and all of that? Have you seen that on television? Because there's no gravity in the outer space when they're there. You know, one of the biggest dangers for them is because they have no resistance, they get very weak very fast.
ඉතින් එකක් තමයි බයන්නකම දෙයක් ඒ වගේම ගිහම ඒකට සිද්ධ වෙලා හරි දුර්වල වෙනවා. වෙයි නිකන් වේගින් දුර්වල වෙනවා. මොකද ඒකට විරුද්ධව
And they try to do certain exercises and things, even in outer space, to have so their bodies don't deteriorate. But even the very best of them can't stay in outer space for that long. They have to come back to Earth because without resistance, they get weak very fast. And this is now back to your adversary. What is the adversary? Back to the mind. He works on the mind. What does he tell you to do? Save your life. Save your life. Now the enemy that comes to rob, steal, kill and destroy, he robs, steals and kills and destroys by telling you to save your life? Whoa, hey, hold on. He robs, steals, kills and destroys by getting you to save your life in this world. This is one of the paradoxes of the life of who we are in Christ Jesus. But He knows if He can get you to try to save your life in this world, because then there's no resistance there. It's very smooth. It's very smooth for the people that go the way of the world. They take care of themselves and their own, and they love each other. They don't love, but they hate. But they work. You're going now in the direction that everyone's going with the stream. Spiritually, very fat, very weak, very easy to control, and off to a Christless eternity. Whereas God calls His people to follow Him. And He calls us to what is not an easy road, but it is the path of abundant life, in this time, while you're here. Can I give you one more verse? I want to finish with one more verse. 1 Peter chapter 5. I know we're over on time, but First Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Oh, okay, actually, hold on. Verse 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Okay. Okay, bringing it all back together again. Another extension of He's Lord over all, so humble yourself under God's mighty hand, that He may exalt you in due time. So, where are you at? You're at the feet of God, seeking first the kingdom of God, you remain in that place. Casting all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. So you don't carry anything. You give it all to Jesus and He carries you through. And be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Right? It's important that it says as a roaring lion, like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion, he's like one. Big difference, he has no teeth. So he roared. He's a roaring lion like that. All he can do is bark. Why does he have to look for who he can devour? See, a real lion devours whatever it just devours what's in front of it if it's hungry. But he has to get permission. He has to get permission. He has to get permission from you. You have to, of your free will, choose to separate yourself from oneness with God, come over to where He is, and then let Him bite you. Because if He attacks you, and you are in Christ Jesus, you know all authority on heaven and on earth was given unto Christ Jesus. In Him we live and move and have our being. Who has the authority in this situation? You know, I was laughing the other day when I was thinking about this. God takes to show His power. Pharaoh, Egypt, 400 years of captivity. God takes an 80-year-old man with a stick and sends him in there to liberate His people. Now, if you didn't have Christ Jesus, you would be in trouble because you would not have any power to stand. But in Christ Jesus, you and I are more than conquerors. So live in that reality, live in that truth, be what God made you to be one in Christ. So my time is up, so I will stop there.
And then what has been hidden from the wise and the prudent been revealed to the babe and the suckling? It never returns.